We're doing the book of Hosea, and we're up to what's commonly referred to as the third chapter in Hosea.
The small 12 prophets.
Right, this is the first of the small 12 prophets. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Chaya Sarah Bat Yosef. We had learned about how the Jewish people were sinning, and time and again they went after the pagans, and at one point the prophet Hosea said to God, "So why don't you give up on them?" We're talking about the period in the middle of the first temple, the latter half of the first temple period. And God tells Hosea, "You go marry a prostitute, have children with that prostitute, and then divorce her. And then you see, even though you knew all along she wouldn't be faithful to you, you still don't want to give up on her. So too, I don't want to give up on my Jewish people." And then in what's referred to as the second chapter, God speaks about how he will regather the Jewish people, and there will be a great day of gathering, and the whole prophecy about how things will be better, and God will again plant the Jewish people in the land of Israel. But we discussed that there are multiple understandings as to whether Hosea literally went and married this woman, or all of this is a vision of prophecy. And today we're going to pick up with what's referred to as the third chapter, and Hashem is going to tell Hosea to again go and marry and befriend another woman. It's unclear whether God meant to marry her or not. And this woman too is not going to be faithful to him. And we will see. We'll see as we go along what the message is. Now, the commentaries have different explanations as to what time period God is talking about in this prophecy. Is God talking about the time period of the first temple? Is God talking about what happens during the exile? Or is potentially God talking about what's happening today? And being that I think we always have to try and take an explanation, try and take an understanding from the prophets that applies to us, so we're going to go with the Metzudas explanation of the prophecy, an explanation that can be easily understood as referring to the exile that we are in until we finally rebuild the Beit HaMikdash now. But we have to be aware that that's one understanding. The other commentaries have different understandings. It's not 100% clear which time Hosea referred to. And we know that the prophets that were recorded have an eternal message. So there is an element of the message which is eternal, even if Hosea was talking about the first temple or exile of the first temple period. So let's begin. Vayomer Adonai Elai, Od lech ehav isha, ahuvat rea umnaafet. Hashem said to me, "Furthermore, go and love a woman, a love of friendship, and yet this woman will be unfaithful." And here, the question is, what is God telling him? Is God telling him, befriend her and marry her? Is God telling him, befriend her and she will be a wife that is very loved by her husband? We know that there are times when a husband loves his wife a lot, and there are times when a husband loves his wife even more. Yaakov had two wives. He had Leah and Rachel. He loved Leah and he loved Rachel even more. Is that what God's telling Hosea? Marry a woman? Or is God telling him, love a woman, have a girlfriend, but don't marry her? Which, of course, for an ordinary person is prohibited, but if God tells a prophet to do it, then that's his job, that's what he's supposed to do.
Not married.
Right. The literal meaning of the words is go love a woman, a love of a friendship with a woman who will be unfaithful. That's the literal meaning of the words.
And it is the Rav Yosef Kara, marry another woman in addition to you.
So, okay, that's the way Rashi learns, that's the way the Mitzudas learns, but others learn that no, the whole point was...
And the Barbanel is not married.
Right. Okay, very nice, yeah. He's quoting a summary of the Marikra, Rashi, and others learn that it was as a form of marriage. The Barbanel and the Malbim learned that it wasn't marriage. I didn't want to...
No, I'm saying it sounds like it's a faithful in a sense. He's saying, like, for you to understand my love, know what it's like to love a woman who's unfaithful.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Right. It's exactly the point of the prophecy. Now, over here also, so we have the Targum's understanding that this is all as a vision of prophecy. It's not a commandment, literally, go do this, but rather prophesize about this. That's right. So we're going to go with the Matsuda's understanding that go find a woman that's fit for you to marry and engage her in marriage, and you'll have a loving relationship with her. And nonetheless, even though you love her and you have a loving relationship, she will be unfaithful. And now the Navi tells us just what Yehuda was mentioning. What is the point of all of this? Ke'ahavat Adonai et b'nei Yisrael ve'hem ponim el Elohim acherim ve'ohavei Ashishei Anavim. This is just like the love of God for the Jewish people. That's the concept that you're alluding to, that even though God loves them, they are not faithful to God. They go after other beings. They go after other forces. We might call them other gods. And they chase after them, and just like a woman that chases after the cups of wine, so too they chase after other gods. So Hosea was told to do this by God, so he does. Va'ekereha li b'chamisha asar kasef. So I engaged her, I did kiddushin with 15 silver coins. Bechomer seorim, veleter seorim, and a chomer, which is 30 sa'ah is approximately 150 cases of coke, right? If each case is 6 bottles, you figure a sa'ah is 30 kav. A kav is the volume of 24 eggs. So you figure each kav is about a bottle and a half of coke, right? So you figure a bottle and a half times... so we said a se'ah is 30 kav, and then you have 30 se'ah. So each se'ah is about 45 bottles, right? What? So it would be about 30 times 45. So you figure each case is 6 bottles. So it's about, each se'ah is about, let's say, 8 cases. So it's 8 times 30, it's 240 cases. Okay, about 240 cases. Fine, of coke. So you figure that's a nice volume of barley, and half that volume. A chomer is 30 sa'ah, plus a letech, which is 15 sa'ah. Okay.
What is coke?
Now, what's this alluding to? So, the Mtsuda here says that this is the promise that Hashem says He will take the Jewish people, they will be His to the end of time. And that's why I prefer going with the Matsuda's explanation, because this is a concept that 15 prophets in Israel refer to, the concept of the eternal relationship between the Jewish people and God. David HaMelech said in Tehillim in a few places, Yeshaya said it in his prophecies, Jeremiah, Yechezkel, Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Ovadia, Micha, Habakkuk, Tzfanya, Daniel, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Each one of those prophets referred to this concept, that our connection with God is going to remain for eternity. These are the prophets that prophesied about the eternal redemption, and that's why they refer to this eternal connection. A letech is 15 sa'ah, and so there were 15 prophets that promised the Jewish people that even though they would be in exile, God would ultimately maintain His relationship with them. He won't leave them to sink in the exile. Ba'omar Eleha. So now he's taking this woman, he's marrying her, and he tells her, Yamim Rabim Teheshevili Lotizni Velotiish. For many days you're gonna be with me. I'm gonna marry you, and our marriage is gonna last for many days. Do not be unfaithful, do not go with another man. I know until now you've been running around with other men. But now be faithful. Vegamani Elayich. And I too will leave my first wife, and I will be faithful to you. Ki Yamim Rabim Yeshivu Bnei Yisrael. And here he's explaining the allusion. What is this action of the prophet referring to? Because there will be many days that the Jewish people will be in exile, and there will be in anticipation, in hope of the future redemption. Again, ki yamim rabim yeshivu bnei Yisrael. For there will be many days when the Jewish people will sit ein melech v'ein sar throughout their exile. They will not have a king. They will not have a governor. They won't feel like God is directly over them. They'll feel like they're alone in exile. So they won't have a direct leader. Just like a woman that's left her husband, and even so, she doesn't go with other men. So too the Jewish people have left, they've been exiled, but they won't join other religions. They won't join the other people and become an American, a German, a Frenchman, and leave their faith. They'll live in those countries, but they won't become a permanent citizen that his whole focus is that country. Ve'ein zevach, ve'ein matzevah. And throughout this period, they won't have a temple, they won't be able to bring a sacrifice to come close to God, but there also won't be a matzevah. They won't erect an altar for any other god. Ve'ein ephod, ve'ein terafim. They won't have the ephod. They won't have the Kohen Gadol, the capacity to connect to God through the Kohen Gadol who wears the ephod. But by the same token, they won't go after the soothsayers and the fortune tellers, the people who use the terafim, the different types of figurines that they use to connect to the other forces. They won't have their connection to God. They won't have that connection they had when the temple was built. They won't have the capacity to connect to God like they did with the temple. But they won't go after the other ways of going after other forces. Now, this is really a very kind prophecy. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, I know after I die that you guys will go after the idols. Hosea over here is telling the Jewish people, and I know that even though you'll be exiled and you'll have to spend a long period of time without a temple and without a direct connection to God, you won't go after the other religions. Acha yashuvu b'nei Yisrael. And after many days, after a long period, the Jewish people will return to their land. Uvikshu et Adonai Eloheihem ve'et David Malkam. And they will seek out Hashem. They will return. Hashem will rest in their midst. They will seek out Hashem, and they will seek out the kingship of David, the Davidic dynasty. Ufachadu el Adonai ve'el Tuvo ba'achrit hayamim. Yes. What does the word Yeshuvu mean?
Return.
Where are they returning to?
Hashem.
Okay. But that's the continuation of the Pasuk.
The reason I feel like it's necessary to talk about is because then it's not a contradiction to shredded, and whatever they do in the lands outside, it will always return to Hashem when the time comes.
Yeah, the only thing is that the concept of a king is only in the land of Israel. Meaning, even the mitzvah to establish a king is when we enter the land. It's one of the mitzvahs when we enter the land of Israel.
But that's specifically the king. So the king, the officer, the sacrifice, the pillar, the generally without the connections to Hashem.
Okay, fine. I hear that you could understand that way. The Matsuda doesn't learn that way. No. I'm saying you could learn that way. I think that the concept that he's saying is a concept really of rebuilding of the temple, and the simple understanding is Yeshuvu, they'll return, means they'll return to the land of Israel, and they will seek out God and David. One of the things we have to wonder is this prophecy all going to happen at once? They'll return and seek out God and seek out King David, or does it happen in stages? They return, and then they'll reach the point where they seek out God, and then they reach the point where they seek out David, their king. I don't know. We'd like to think it all happens at once, right? Over here also, the question is, are they going to seek out the Davidic dynasty, or are they going to seek out the Melech HaMashiach? Okay. Not necessarily, no. There's a concept of Mashiach, there's a concept of the throne of David. They aren't necessarily connected, meaning potentially maybe we could establish a king if we had someone from the Davidic dynasty. Maybe we could establish a king even though he wouldn't be Mashiach. We don't have to assume that a king will only be Mashiach. Maybe I'm wrong, as far as I know. Ufachadu el Hashem, and they will have fear of God. Ve'el tuvo ba'achrit hayamim, they will not sin because they won't want to lose the good that God gives them in this end of time. And here it's referred to as achrit hayamim, the end of the days, whatever that means. And that brings us really to the conclusion of what's called the third chapter, but we don't go by the chapters. For the sake of time, so we'll switch over here. We'll pause here. Okay. Ramban Oran, what do you say, Asher Chaim?